You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 98. Do you target high-end clients, corporations, or have big-ticket offerings? My guest today has a great lead generation strategy for you. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact? Boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hello there, inspired business leaders and entrepreneurs. It's your host, Melanie Benson here. And if you're wondering what's the best way to connect with high-profile business leaders, organizational representatives, big-ticket clients, then today's episode is going to reveal a important marketing strategy for you. So stay tuned. But before we jump in, I'm curious how your consistent cash flow is going. I've been hearing from a lot of our listeners and people in the Amplify Your Success community that one of their biggest challenges is, how do I keep consistent cash flow coming in the door? And I've got two resources for you. First one's free. It's my Rapid Cash Strategies at rapidcashstrategies.com. Now, this resource has 10 ways to bring cash flow in, and this is critical when cash flow is low to have some quick strategies to get cash in the door. So it's my gift to you at rapidcashstrategies.com. My other resource is the Profit Explosion Toolkit. We're at that time of year now where you need to be looking at not just how strong you finish the year, but what you're going to do for the next year to really keep that cash flow growing up, the profitability going up, and grow your impact and income. So you can get my Profit Explosion Toolkit, which is my proven strategy for increasing exponentially your profitable cash flow at profitexplosiontoolkit.com. I'm excited to get into today's episode. There's some great information coming your way, so grab a pen and some paper. You're going to want to take notes. Welcome to Amplify Your Success Podcast with my special guest, Chrissy Wyrott. And we're going to be talking about how to attract your ideal clients using LinkedIn. And I'm super excited for this episode because so many people get confused with LinkedIn. So Chrissy Wyrott is a marketing consultant who specializes in client attraction using the LinkedIn platform. So she works primarily with service-based business owners to set up funnel systems that generate qualified leads that improve the business owner's bottom line. So Chrissy, I'm excited to have you because you and I have talked off and on over the last few months, and you've been a listener of the show and had some great things you wanted to share with our audience. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
And so your specialty is LinkedIn. I want to get to how you got there in a minute, but why LinkedIn? Why are you choosing LinkedIn out of all the social media platforms out there?
It's interesting. My skill set just fits so well with LinkedIn. I've always been a good salesperson. I'm a great networker, and I just enjoy drumming up conversation with people. I've always had a gift for it. And with the way that LinkedIn is set up, the way that it's just a black book for businesses and it gives you access to people, it's just been a perfect way for me to network online.
Yeah. And I think that's how you and I, no, we actually connected through referral. That's right. I was like, how did we originally connect? Connect on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And we love referrals, right? So always about the connections we make. Now, LinkedIn is always going through a lot of changes. There's always enhancements. What's going on over there right now that's making LinkedIn such a great place to network and connect with people?
So it started really when Microsoft bought out LinkedIn. And so there was a huge shift between it being a network with your friends platform to actually growing a network. And for a while, it was really big with blogging and posting articles. And semi-recently, it has really shifted to be a conversational platform with a lot of engagement just in the newsfeed. So the way that the algorithm has shifted, it is encouraging users to stop posting articles and to really just start talking with one another.
So then what makes it different than LinkedIn? I'm not LinkedIn, but Facebook these days.
It is drastically different in terms of the opportunity for organic reach. LinkedIn has incorporated hashtags and they're actually using them. They tried to incorporate them a while back and then they kind of fizzled off. But they have used hashtags in as a filing system of sorts, and it's allowing people to generate true organic reach by engaging with other people. So there's through hashtags and through other people commenting. We see friends of friends or connections of connections engaging on the platform. And so it just, where Facebook is shutting the door on organic engagement, LinkedIn is throwing it wide open.
Love that. And I think it's a very rich environment for those kind of conversations because of the kinds of content that people are posting. So what are the content trends right now?
A lot of people are posting videos to just, you know, drum up conversation with their users. But the big thing is long form written posts within the newsfeed are doing really well. So gone are the days of posting an article with a sentence or two to tease it. Now it's take the article that has, you know, five different points in it and turn one of those points into almost a mini post on the newsfeed, and people are reading that and then they're responding. And that's what's starting that conversation.
So where do you think the real opportunity with LinkedIn is in terms of how you build those connections that do turn into clients?
So it's almost the Facebook ads platform organically on LinkedIn. So with Facebook ads, you do the initial wide casting of your net to bring in anybody that might be a potential lead, and then you start to narrow them down through retargeting. It's the same phenomenon with LinkedIn, only you're doing it through connection requests, and then once they're a part of your network, you're nurturing those individuals with the conversation you're having. So that's almost your way of retargeting. And the more that you are out there on LinkedIn, the more those individuals who fit a certain profile, which is why you invite them to be a part of your network, they start to see what you're doing, it piques their interest, and then when they are ready, they will reach out. So it's a good way to just get people watching what you're doing, and then when they are ready, they're able to reach out. And a lot of the time, the people who reach out actually aren't the people in your network. A lot of the time, they're those second tier connections who see what you're doing through someone that's a mutual connection between the two of you.
Yeah, so that's where that viral who you know, who you've connected with already starts to pay off in LinkedIn.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, being in the right circles, you know, being in the right circle of individuals who could, you know, use what it is that you're providing.
So I wonder if you could maybe give us, like, I know you're explaining like long form, but let's imagine that our listener today is like, what is long form and what am I really doing here? And what's a funnel? Like, how does this all work? Right. You know, let's maybe take them through, and then you don't have to get into too much detail, but I just want somebody to go, I want to do this. Like, this is what I want to move into next. I think I really want to give LinkedIn a try. Maybe like walk us through like what that might look like.
Sure. So there's different ways to post quote unquote long form. You know, if you write a blog post with, you know, two or three items, you can literally take one of those items and turn that into a blog post. But the other things that are into a post, but another way that you can capitalize on this long form post is literally by piquing the interest of followers by creating a conversation. So I will often just post a question to people, or I will post a particular idea that I might have put into a blog post before that I am now actually putting into one of these shorter, like shorter than a blog post, but it's longer than a standard newsfeed post. So you get 1,300 characters to play with. And actually, one thing that I did a few days ago, it was LinkedIn ads versus Facebook ads. So I went and posted on my newsfeed, if you've considered running LinkedIn ads because you're looking to generate leads, please read this. You may be thinking that LinkedIn ads are like running Facebook ads, but that's far from the truth. And then I just posted three different sentences that highlighted my points. And then I put my hashtags at the end, and it generated, you know, a few likes and comments and started to go through my network in the way that a blog post might have formerly gone through my network.
Interesting. I love that. I love the example you're giving too, because I think sometimes there's so many different features on LinkedIn. It's kind of hard to know what to do, what's maybe a waste of time, because they've got their own blog type. What do they call it? It's not Navigator. What's the
Pulse?
Right.
Yes.
Is there any point to doing Pulse when there's this rich environment on just the threads alone?
Absolutely. So the other components, so there's the three components of this funnel that I've put together, or not put together, but that I leverage in my business. And one of them is the reach outs that we talked about. One is the content. And then the other is your optimized profile, which essentially on LinkedIn acts as your sales page. And one of the key components of your profile is they highlight your most recent LinkedIn article very prominently on your profile. So if the first thing that someone is going to do when they see you engaging on LinkedIn is they're going to click on your name to see, who is this person? What do they do? And on the near the top of your profile is going to be your most recent article. So that's wonderful inbound marketing. And then underneath that, it will say see all articles. And so everything you've ever written is there for them to, you know, get sucked into through your profile. So it's a fantastic way of generating that inbound marketing. It's been interesting to test it though, because I will literally write an article. And then, you know, whenever you write an article on LinkedIn, it gets published and there's an automatic newsfeed post that goes along with that article. But then I will actually take that article's key point and I will put that into a newsfeed post and then say the link to the article is in the comments. And the article itself will get maybe 30 or 40 views, which is pretty low. But then the post will get thousands of views because it has a significantly better reach the way that the algorithm is working versus the article itself.
Hmm. So one is more evergreen, you might say, in the sense that anybody that comes by your page is going to have access to it, but your posts are where you get a lot of the traction.
Definitely.
I love it. I should say your thread posts.
Yes.
So one of my favorite tools online is hashtags, but hashtags can kind of go a little nuts, right?
Yeah.
On Instagram, if you're used to being an Instagrammer where they want you to do 30 to 40 hashtags. So how do hashtags work in the LinkedIn world?
So you mentioned Pulse earlier, and Pulse used to work in a much different way where it was indexed based on subject matter. So the goal of LinkedIn Pulse, you know, back in the day was to write something that got picked up by Pulse to where they put it into their main feed for that particular subject. Hashtags now are working the same way. You don't get as many views as you did if you got picked up on mainstream Pulse, but it's essentially a way to index your post. So if you go into LinkedIn and you want to see what a hashtag is, like branding is a very popular one. There's 17 million people following branding, marketing, business. You can go in and subscribe to those hashtags so that you will see them pop up in your feed. So then when you add those hashtags to your posts, it's allowing LinkedIn to index your post for that hashtag. And so then it will be added to that particular feed for people who follow it.
Mm, that's handy.
Mm-hmm.
So part of it is knowing what hashtags to use, right? So it's not all hashtags right. are created equal.
Correct.
Some people are actually looking for. Some of them are just kind of funny.
Correct. Yeah. So you can go through, and if you're already following hashtags, you'll have a little box in the left-hand side that'll say your communities, and they will give you the opportunity. It'll say show more, and then it'll show you the most popular ones. But if you're just trying to figure out what are the hashtags you should use for the people you're targeting, you can just go through your ideas and type in hashtag and whatever word or term you think is a good one to use. And it will actually pull it up and tell you how many people are following it.
I love it. And so I think one of the things that's so interesting about LinkedIn is, again, they've got so many different little nooks and crannies. What about communities? Like, is there any value to being involved in the communities these days?
So it's an interesting thing. If they're trying to revamp groups a little bit, they've put a little box for groups on the left-hand side. Actually, I had a conversation with a client today about this, and she was asking the same question. And there's the aspect of groups is, what are you looking to get out of them? So if you're looking to generate leads out of groups, the issue that you can have is, are you qualified to be in the group where your leads are, right? So for me as a consultant, being in a group with entrepreneurs is a positive for me on both ends. I am an entrepreneur, but then those are the people that I would also target. For somebody else who's in a different type of service-based business, the people they service might not be in a group that they would be qualified to be in. Like if I were targeting, you know, TV personalities, I wouldn't be qualified to be in a TV personalities group. So that's the first part of the equation. And then the second part is, right now, LinkedIn isn't really doing a lot to notify people of group activity. And so I think that would have to be the next step to really get people to start engaging in them. Because right now, everybody is really just hanging out on the newsfeed right now.
Interesting. And so, you know, a lot of people who listen to this podcast are really making that leap from being invisible or are kind of the best kept secret to really standing out as an authority. Is there any real benefit to like starting a group and being the leader of a group that shifts that dynamic at all?
It could be. The issue with that is, you know, for people to engage in it, you're going to have to change their behavior. You know, we only check into so many locations online at a time. I think right now Facebook groups are really a huge thing. I don't know if LinkedIn is really there. The real big thing to do to be visible on LinkedIn, I say go down the rabbit hole. So, you know, you want to post your stuff, but then you also just want to, even if you set a timer on your phone for 10 minutes to do what you're not supposed to do when you're trying to be productive, which is just go in the newsfeed, start skimming through stuff, and just comment on people's posts. It's the best way to generate engagement, but then also based on experience, obviously, you know, LinkedIn isn't going to disclose this necessarily, but based on experience, the more you engage with others, the better your content will do as well. If you're just posting your content and you're never engaging with others, your content isn't going to have as good of a reach.
Yeah, that's fair. And I mean, I think that's really the trick to any social media platform is it's a two-way engagement strategy. You know, you're penalized if all you're doing is pushing out instead of interacting and engaging with people.
Definitely. And the cool thing about LinkedIn too is because those first 100 characters on your headline are visible whenever you comment, anytime you go comment somewhere, it's like your little billboard is showing up with you. Mm-hmm. So that's where your headline is super critical to make sure that it's best describing what it is you do and will stick out to the people that you want to take notice.
You know, I would love to talk just a little bit more about the profile since it's such an important part of your LinkedIn presence. I know this is one of the things you do for your clients all the time. Like, is there any like really big no-nos that people don't realize that they're making when they're putting their profile together?
I think one of the most significant things that people overlook is readability. LinkedIn doesn't allow for any markup. So if you put a giant block of text in there, it's almost like when you're putting a resume together, although don't make it your resume, but it's also when you're putting a resume together, you want it to be as skimmable as possible so that certain pieces catch everyone's attention. And then the other part that I think people tend to miss is the SEO factor. LinkedIn is a highly searched platform. And so you have 2,000 characters in each section, and especially that current experience section, because current experience and your summary, they're the heaviest weighted for search. Make sure that you're using all of those characters and putting keywords throughout your copy so that if someone's looking for an individual who does what you do, that you're going to be one of the people that comes up in that search.
Yeah, good tips. You know, and I think really this is something you don't want to overlook is the profile that you put up if you do nothing else, because people are searching. I mean, I go in and I search there every time I'm going to hire for my team. Mm-hmm. I search there every time I'm looking for a particular, like if I'm looking for a particular type of guest for the show, or, you know, I've used it thousands of different ways, but that profile is a key piece. And unfortunately, a lot of people are writing some pretty bad profiles. So I think anything you can do to learn how to build a great profile, and what, how to lay it out, and what keywords to use, and, you know, what's going to make it stand out when somebody's going through about 20 people deciding who they're going to connect with that day.
Yes. And those first 100 characters in that headline, I cannot overstate how important that is. You know, there were those back in the day where it was, you know, putting together some cutesy profile or some cutesy headline that, you know, I let people learn how to love their dogs again or something like that. And when people make it a sentence like that, I've seen this happen. The first part of that sentence has nothing to do with what you do. It's like the beginning of a sentence. And so if someone's commenting, you have no clue what they do because those first 100 characters were wasted. So I think the days of those creative type headlines are gone, and make sure that what you have in there just really describes what you do.
Mm. Yeah, good advice. Well, and I know you have a resource that we can share with our listeners as well. You want to share with everyone what that is, because we're talking about it right now, and I think it's really awesome, and I'm actually going to go download it myself and use it because I think it's so cool.
I'm so excited about it. You have no idea. And I showed my client today, because I work with her to help her service her clients better in LinkedIn. And she asked to see it. And she said, oh my gosh, you need to send that to me right now. But it is essentially the profile laid out. And I've got each component of the profile highlighted with a breakout box explaining what it is and how to use it. And then there's a checklist that goes through everything that you need to include in your profile. And the best way to leverage it.
Awesome. And I want to encourage everybody to get it. If you go to chrissywyrott.com/amplify, she's made it available for you there. And we'll, of course, put it in the show notes so it's easy to go find. But you will try to figure it out on your own. And trust me, it will not be as compelling as having a really simple process to follow. So grab it. Make sure you go through it and follow the instructions. Even just a few simple tweaks to your profile will make a big difference in how many connection requests you get. And that's where the real gold is.
Yes. And don't forget the second W in my last name.
Yes. That's why we'll spell it out. So you want to spell it for us?
Sure. It's Chrissy Wyrott. It's ChrissyWyrott. When we got married, my husband made sure to let me know to spell it that way and pause after the second W because people will leave it out.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I love it. So I think it would be really helpful for our listeners to understand a little bit more about your own journey and like how you got to the place where you're an expert in LinkedIn.
Absolutely. So I actually began in the sports world. I worked for the Detroit Lions for almost 10 years, right out of college. And then I decided it was time to branch out on my own. And consulting and strategy was always what I loved more than anything. And LinkedIn found me. Somebody asked me to help write their profile. And I had done so much ghostwriting and so much strategy in my previous work that I realized it was the perfect fit. And so I have just been knee deep in LinkedIn for the past few years and have just really enjoyed getting to learn the platform inside and out.
Yeah. And for you, you know, I think you have a little bit of a secret sauce that you bring to the table. You know, what helps you really personalize it and stand out on LinkedIn?
Well, I do work with athletes, and so that's something that tends to attract people. I work with influencers, and I also work with a couple nonprofits. And for me, the people that I work with are a lot of my own marketing. So I love posting about who I'm with and what I get to do, and a lot of people engage around that. And I've made a point to really connect locally with people in this area. And I've been going to LinkedIn local events, which is something that was originated in Australia and has made its way around the globe, where people in concentrated areas are meeting offline and networking in a real space. And so that's been awesome. So I've had, I've been making some great connections in my area, which almost gives me a little fan club on LinkedIn.
Hmm. Yeah. And I think that's really a key for social media as well, is like whenever you can take something from that online experience to an offline connection, that's where things start to kind of have the magic. And that's where the connection starts to bloom. Because in my own experience, social media can be kind of a bit of a blur. You know, there's so much that people are trying to take in. But the minute you move the conversation offline, that's where things really start to take off.
Yeah, and that's one of my primary pieces of advice with people that are using LinkedIn and trying to generate leads, is keep the conversation on LinkedIn. I think some people will just send a link or go to my page and read about it. And you want to keep it as though you're in a room together. Like LinkedIn is your room. You're in a networking event and you're just having a conversation. If you have to go back and forth and say, are you available Friday? We can talk at this time. Make it as real time and as conversational as possible, because that's how people like to use it.
Mm, that's good advice. So I think one of the things that turns me off the most is when people are trying to pitch you immediately and there's no real relationship built, you know, and I always try to find something personal about the person as I'm engaging with them, instead of just like, hey, go check out my stuff. So definitely good tips there. And let's just explore for a second, like if there was one thing that's really like helped you the most in your own business trajectory, your own evolution in terms of developing yourself as an influencer in this space, like what do you think is the thing that's helped you the most?
Ironically, or maybe not, I'm guessing a lot of people do struggle with this, but I am a crazy extrovert. If I take the Myers-Briggs, I'm like 85% extrovert, to the point that if I work home alone, I actually get depressed by the end of the day. And I struggled with visibility. This year, I made a huge point to be visible because I feel like I was making myself, you know, one of the best kept secrets. I wasn't talking about what I did. And so I have made an effort to be more visible on LinkedIn, to be more visible in person, and to be more visible doing interviews and things like that. And that has without a doubt shifted the trajectory of my business.
Isn't that a common theme that I think in our world today, that you can be a great expert but feel completely invisible when you're working from home, which is something many of us pine for, right? It's like having that zero commute is really powerful. But yet, if you don't have those connections and you're not connecting with people and you're not standing out, you can feel literally like you're lost in the abyss.
Absolutely. And I know you do, you know, a lot of coaching and mentoring and working with business owners. And I cannot speak enough to how critical it is to have other people looking at your business and giving you objective advice, because we can distort or think, you know, things that come easy to us. We don't recognize just how good we are at those things because they come so easy. And so sometimes it takes people on the outside saying, no, you're really good at that. You need to go forward with that. And you're thinking, what? That's it? I thought everybody knew how to do that. No, everybody doesn't know how to do that.
I love that you said that, because I think that's one of the greatest powers in having a coach or a mentor is illuminating and amplifying your hidden powers. You know, we all have superpowers. We're not using enough of them. We're not showcasing. And you're right. Sometimes we forget they're there because it's so obvious to us. So
exactly.
I just said that. Chrissy, thanks so much for joining us today. I really have loved getting to know you better. You are a complete rock star in the LinkedIn world. And by the way, one of your superpowers is your follow-up. Like, you are one of those people that's so good at following up. And I think that that probably serves you really well. So
thank you.
You're welcome.
Really enjoy your podcast a lot. I love the advice that you give. And I love that you mix up your solo episodes and your interviews. I really enjoy that.
Oh, thanks. Well, you know, that's my superpower. So I guess I'm showcasing mine.
There you go.
Well, I want to encourage you to grab this free gift that Chris has put together. It is so good. I cannot wait to use it. I will admit I'm not the best on LinkedIn. I don't keep active there, but Chrissy, you have inspired me today to get more active in that environment again. So watch out, world.
Here she comes.
Here I come. All right. Enjoy the rest of your day today and make sure to amplify your impact somewhere.
Thank you so much.
This is Melanie Benson, your host. Thanks so much for listening in today. If you want to catch up on any of the show notes and circle back on any of the resources we shared in today's show, head on over to the show page at amplifyyoursuccesspodcast.com. And remember, you amplify your results faster when you're in a community of other people who are moving and shaking. Join us at amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com. One last thing. When you've gained insight from today's episode, help us share that and inspire other people by heading over to iTunes, subscribing, and give it a review. iTunes absolutely loves seeing these reviews pop up, and it actually helps boost my show's visibility. So I would be super grateful for your reviews. And as always, I love seeing your shares of these episodes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Come find me over there. Tag me in your shares. I'll give you some social media love right back. So see you next week for another inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success Podcast.